Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Folks, the revelations about the dreadful Mar-a-Lago raid that are popping are getting worse and worse by the day. We all knew about the deep state, but based on the reception to my Friday show, I can tell this story's not going away. The backlash is growing. And I'm going to put the pieces together for you today in a way you haven't seen before about exactly what's going on with the raid. Yes, raid on Mar-a-Lago. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Thank you. It's been a very, very long weekend. I don't want to waste your time with a lot of the personal stuff, but met with Donald Trump Thursday night, had about a 3-hour dinner with him. Amazing. Discussed it a little bit on Friday, on the Friday radio show. Went up to New York, did the five, Fox and Friends, did the show live from the studio Saturday night. It was amazing. Thank you for the reception on that monologue. We'll get to all of that later on. If you're looking for a new rifle or shotgun, I wholeheartedly recommend Henry Repeating Arms. You can visit them at henryusa.com. They've got more than 200 models to choose from, plus new releases throughout the year. And trust me, folks, you cannot beat their quality and their craftsmanship. Henry's come in a wide variety of calibers, everything from 22s up to long-distance hunting rounds. And there's so many finishes to choose from. Blued steel, hardened brass and silver, antique color case, even an all-weather finish that can handle the toughest outdoor conditions. Some models have octagon barrels that are beautifully machined and polished. And they only use the best grades of genuine American walnut for their stocks. And I also like that they're made in America by a family-owned business that gives you a lifetime warranty. They have affordable models starting at $250, collectible editions that are splurge-worthy up to $3,000, and many options in between. And call them if you have questions. Their award-winning customer service team can help you find the Henry that's right for you. Start by ordering a copy of their free catalog at henryusa.com. They'll mail you the catalog with two free decals and a list of dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com for a free catalog and decals. henryusa.com.
All right, Joe, on this Monday,
gentlemen,
let's go.
Start your engines. Yeah. Here we go, brother.
Joe, very excited.
You've
this Monday.
Got it.
I think because the Friday show was a little different. We had to cut and copy and paste a few things given that I was traveling. But the Friday show was our most listened to show possibly ever, maybe. It is just going bananas. Why? We had an interview with an FBI agent, Stuart Kaplan, who is now a criminal defense attorney. He's seen both sides, who just, I think, blew everybody's mind. I'll get into some of the stuff he talked about, but first, the backlash is growing. And I opened up the show last week talking about the show your butts theory about the left and what Donald Trump did to them. And now I've showing you that I'm not like making this up. I'm not just pulling things out of my caboose here, how we're actually talking about things other people are talking about too. We just beat them to the punch on it. You're not wasting your time here. But show your butts theory is real. Very simply, it says, Democrats beat up Republicans on narratives for years. Call them racist, Republicans apologize. You get it? Call them racist, they apologize. They tried it with Donald Trump. Donald Trump doubled down and told them double barrel middle finger. I'm not answering your stupid questions. I'm going to do what I want to do, which caused the Democrats to go even crazier as Donald Trump wouldn't capitulate. Get it? Got it? Good. Explained it last week. No need to relitigate all that. Here is the show your butts theory in action right here. Gee, is it not? Showing you again, you are not wasting your time here. Here is CBS horrified that the Democrat attacks they've done on Republicans in the past that caused them to leave and resign, Joe, are not working on Trump. And my gosh, he's just not going away. And I'll double down and tell you, I had dinner with him. He looks more fired up than ever. The biggest backfire ever. Watch this.
You have been reporting that the 45th president would like to run again and is making some plans to run for president in 2024. How does this impact that?
This is factoring into his decision in some way. I'm told by people close to him this weekend that he's still moving toward an announcement, despite all of the legal challenges he is facing. Potentially,
so this isn't damaging.
Well, we're not saying it's not damaging. You see, this could be extremely damaging. We have so little visibility into what he put in these boxes. Was it a grave national security threat? It could be politically explosive down the line, but we don't want to get ahead of that in terms of the political impact.
But it's damaging, Joe.
Yeah.
But it's damaging.
Yes.
They're like, she can't believe it, but I don't understand. We've done this to Republicans in the past and they back away and resign in disgrace and they never get disgrace, air quotes, and we're never seen or heard from again.
Conundrum.
Big conundrum. Conundrum time. Conundrum staring you right in the face.
Yes,
you
sir.
See that you're not wasting your time here. I spend all day putting this show together, trying to use a little bit of humor to make complex points. That's a stupid name, the Show Your Butts Theory. I get it. It's actually the Show Your Asses Theory, but I'm trying to keep it somewhat family friendly. They've done it. If you pay attention to political strategy through the years, they've done it before. That lady at CBS there and Bob Costa, they can't believe it, but it's damaging. And then Costa, of course, is like, I don't know, stuff could come out. The walls are closing in later. Could be explosive. Okay, we've heard all this before. We've heard all of this before. Please, please, we've heard it before. Thank you. Now, here's Jason Riley on why this raid, they're going to keep up. The point of me talking about this is you have to understand they are going to keep upping the ante. There are people out there on our side. I'm not kidding. Not the good conservatives, but even some like people I thought were with us in the past who are genuinely convinced that, oh, you know what? It's going to calm down soon. This is it. I'm telling you, listen to me, please. I have never let you down. We're always ahead of the information curve here. It is not going to slow down. The Show Your Butts theory means as Donald Trump gets more energized, which he is, I had dinner with him. Believe me, this has not dissuaded him one bit. I'm not going to get into an announcement or not or what he said. That's a private conversation. I'm telling you this, though. If he announces or not, this raid has only reinvigorated him. Only. It's done. I'm telling you, it's done. I'm telling you that with absolute candor. It's done nothing to stop him, which is going to make the left not back down like some swampies think. It's going to make things worse. Expect this to get worse. Here's Jason Riley on Fox again, describing Show Your Butts theory in context of more elegant language, like, oh, norms are being violated. Check this out.
I think what we're seeing here is a pattern. Donald Trump is accused of violating political norms, sometimes fairly, sometimes unfairly. And then his political opponents violate norms in response to that. This has never happened in U.S. history, a president's home being raided. And there's, Donald Trump has been out of office for 18 months. If these documents are so sensitive, nuclear secrets, highly sensitive material, why did the Justice Department wait so long? What's the urgency here? Why did the Justice Department wait so long to do this? And the public here is asking these big picture questions. Is this a fishing expedition for January 6th? Is this about going after one of President Biden's potential opponents in 2024? This looks like political theater, I think, to the average voter. And it's part of a pattern here of Trump's opponents violating norms in response to the president himself violating norms.
I love, 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 adore Jason Riley's work. I disagree with him on one small point. I'll get to that in a second. He brings up a couple of things there. Is this a pretext? In other words, were they not in there because of national security concerns? Were they in there for other reasons? The answer, of course, is yes. They were in there for a couple of reasons. Number one, they wanted January 6th information. Just take it to the bank, folks. It's not even, I'm not arguing with any leftists over it. You make yourself look silly. Sit down and shut up. They're in there for January 6th stuff. It's nothing to do with classified documents. Nothing. Period. Period. Just stop embarrassing yourself. Second, Kash Patel is an amazing theory, an incredible theory. I'm going to get to it. It's coming up right shortly right here. Get to it right quick for us Southern folks in there, right? I'll say I'm down South now. It was a Northeastern. Were they trying to find some potential documents on the whole Spygate, Russiagate thing that they could then say were subject to a criminal investigation so they'd have to be again held out of the public eye because they didn't want you to see what Trump already knew about the spying on him? Kind of an interesting question there too. I'll get to that in a minute. But one of the things I disagree with Jason Riley about is he talks about the violating of political norms. The political norms Donald Trump violated is the show your butts theory. The norm in the past, Joe, was Democrats would accuse Republicans are being fascists and racist, right? And you get the whole thing. You've heard it a million times.
I'm sorry.
It's not worth repeating.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. That was the next step. Oh, I'm very sorry for being a fascist. Let me apologize and do what you wish. That's the political. So it's not really a norm. It's more a behavior pattern, almost like Lorenz fixed action patterns. Yeah. If you studied psychology.
Yeah.
It was a fixed action pattern. It had been fixed. The Democrats understood that. The norm Donald Trump violated was they did the same things. You're a fascist, you're this. And Donald Trump just doubled down. Therefore, Riley says, then they started, the only one really violating norms are the Democrats. The Mueller investigation, spying on a president, manipulating and stealing elections by manipulating the media through the Hunter Biden fiasco. Those are the norms that were violated. Donald Trump didn't violate any norms. You just didn't like the way he talked. And maybe Riley said, I love his work. I'm not trying to be a jerk towards him. He does really fantastic work. But that is that show your butts theory I keep talking about. Also, a couple other things. I was on the Five. Got spicy on Friday, as predicted. I got into it with Jessica Tarloff. Jessica Tarloff was holding up the left and the Democrats as the paragon of paragon of dignity and credibility within the government when it comes to these documents. I was like, really? You mean the hammer people who hammered the Blackberries and used the bleach bit program to wipe clean electronic servers? I'm just curious. Are those people? You mean Sandy Bergler like this, folks? Excuse me. Stuffing stuff down his pants? You mean that guy? Opening his pants, stuffing? You mean that guy, the Bill Clinton National Security Advisor? Stuffing down his pants? Wasn't tissues to make him. It was like actual national security documents. What about What about Joe Biden? On an email chain whose business partner or his son, Hunter Biden, indicates that on that email chain, Joe Biden may have been a 10% partner to a deal with a company connected to the Chinese Communist Party. You're right, just paragons of virtue. So we got into it. But one of the things I brought up with Jessica, which, listen, I like the debates. It's what we do. She has her role. I have mine. I'm not angry at her for it. I am angry at the positions, however, and I don't hide that. Is I love when the left claims this is all whataboutism. Well, Donald Trump did this wrong, but you guys bringing up Hillary Clinton is just whataboutism. What about Hillary Clinton? Let's just talk about Donald Trump. No. I addressed this on the Five. I addressed it specifically with Greg. Greg brought it up too, Gutfeld. Justice is all about whataboutism, folks. I want you to think about that. The way you treat Guy and Joe and me in a fair justice system as citizens of the United States matters. If Guy gets special treatment because he has black hair and Joe gets special treatment because he was a musician and then I get different treatment because I'm a conservative, then ladies and gentlemen, me citing, well, what about the way you treated Joe and Guy is the essence of justice, because I'm telling you, justice is when there is no ability to say what about. Guy, Joe, and me rob a bank, we all get the same treatment. FBI arrest, depending on our background, prosecution, and time in jail. If Joe gets off because the attorney general's a musician and Guy gets off because the attorney general has black hair, then folks, of course you're going to say what about. Do not run away from the whataboutism question. The essence of justice is whataboutism. Dershowitz brings up this point in the Wall Street Journal. Regardless of your feelings about Dershowitz, he's a smart lawyer. I go, there's a lot of beef out there with stuff. But regardless of that, he brings up the same point I make. Alan Dershowitz, but her emails, a defense of whataboutism. He's talking about the comparison between Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, how they were treated and how Trump is treated. He said, those who reject this comparison accuse those who make it of whataboutism. But treating like cases alike is crucial to the equal protection of the law. Yeah. The way in which Sandy Berger and Hillary were treated is highly relevant to determining whether Mr. Trump is being subjected to a double standard of justice. The facts, especially the degree of culpability, may be different. And if so, that would provide a good answer to the what about question. But if the facts are similar and the treatment is different, Americans are entitled to ask whether this constitutes even application of the law that Garland promised. The shoe must fit comfortably on the other foot if justice is to be done and seen to be done. There can't be one rule for Democrats and another for Republicans. Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. That is very well written. Do not run away from the whataboutism question. What about Hillary and Joe Biden? What about the way they were treated compared to Trump? Is a question of justice. If you don't have equal application of the law, you don't have the law. You have tyranny. Again, I made this point on the Five. So a couple takeaways to start. Show your butts theory comes true again. You didn't waste your time. I bring up all the time, whataboutism? Because whataboutism is an effective argument. And the reason the left doesn't want to talk about Hillary or Joe is because they realize whataboutism points out the fact that we don't have an honest and fair justice system. And that's the way they like it. Dishonest and unfair. Jessica melted down when I talked about that. She's like, oh my gosh, 9 minutes in, you're bringing up Hillary. I would have brought it up sooner if I would have got the opportunity. Would have got the opportunity to bring it up sooner in context. I would have. All right, I want to get into this coming up next. The deep state conspiracy theory, air quotes, folks. Again, you are not wasting your time. The deep state conspiracy theory is absolutely true. I'm going to prove it to you right here. I'm going to put up some stuff by Cash Patel. You know what? Thank you for your patience. Let me get to my first sponsor because I want to get through this in one block. So I appreciate your patience. Our sponsors pay to talk to you. This one's going to blow your mind. I'm going to show you how this is all related to the violation of norms by the left as they keep upping the ante to make sure Trump goes away. It's going to get worse. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. Okay. While we're on the topic of the illicit, immoral, unconstitutional, and I believe potentially illegal, we'll see what happens later on if this was pretextual and lies were told, potentially illegal raid on Mar-a-Lago. Folks, the deep state conspiracy theory keeps coming true. You're not wasting your time. Some of the stuff I'm going to tell you, I put together a long time ago. And now it's funny because before the show, Joe remembers most of the names. Joe's like, man, didn't that lady do this and that? I'm like, yeah, of course you paid attention. One of the golden rules of the Dan Bongino show to follow along is what? Remember the names. Remember that if you memorize the names of the people involved in Spygate, the impeachment, when you see the name pop, you're going to be like, if you don't have it memorized, it's just going to cross. It's going to be, obviously, you're just not going to put two and two together. If you have the names committed to memory, when you see the names pop in every anti-Trump scandal, you're going to be like, holy Moses, that's the same dude. Again, I can't believe it. Same dude. Here's what I mean. More proof of the deep state. Cash Patel, very good friend to the show. So you understand he was an upper level defense official in the Trump administration. Cash Patel, very, very smart guy. Used to work in the DOJ. He was also the lead investigator with Devin Nunes on the Spygate case. Patel knows everything. Cash, a good friend of the show, guest on the radio show often. He was just on the show last week. Here's Patel on Maria Bartiromo's great show this weekend, talking about a really, really suspicious guy and a woman that just keep appearing in every anti-Trump scandals. Oh, weird, man. Check this out.
Me as a former national security prosecutor in the National Security Division where this case is being run out of, it's no surprise that the likes of John Carlin, who was the Assistant Attorney General for National Security, who authorized a Russiagate hoax to begin with, is now the number three official at DOJ. And Lisa Monaco is the number two official, who was his superior back then. These folks, and this is the thing I want to stress with, now that this is a quote-unquote ongoing FBI counterintelligence investigation, they will come out to the American public and be able to say, ongoing CI investigation, you will never be allowed to see the Russiagate docs or any other docs that President Trump lawfully declassified, and they will hide it from the public, and Congress has a monumental lift ahead of them. Come November, they better start subpoenaing these documents immediately.
Even Guy said it. He's like, even I'm starting to remember these names now. And Guy was here way after Joe. There are two major points in that. Number one, he brings up two names, John Carlin and Lisa Monaco. For my P1 listeners, that's an industry term for the diehards, people who've been with us from the beginning, the Judys of the world and others. You already know where we're going with this. A very small percentage of your audience are P1s. They are. They're very few have been there from the beginning. They are your absolute loyalists. I'm not saying you're not loyal. I appreciate you here, but they've been here a lot of them have heard every episode. You already know where I'm going with this. Folks, he brings up two key points. Carlin and Monaco, which I'll get to in a second. Deep, big time deep staters. And second, Carlin and Monaco and their role in Russiagate. He says, and this blew my mind. He said this on my radio show too. It blew my mind. It ate my lunch. He said, Dan, what if they went in there in that raid? It had nothing to do with national security paperwork or classifications nonsense. He said, what if they went in there knowing Donald Trump was going to blow the whistle on the entire Russiagate thing and had the docs to back it up? and that in order to prevent those documents from seeing the light of day, they went in there and confiscated them to make them part of an active criminal investigation so that they can say, as you heard him say, I know, this is like the most, this is totally blew my mind. Oh, you guys aren't going to be able to see this stuff because it's part of an active criminal investigation over classification. For those of you out there saying, that's not possible, that's crazy, they would never do that, please, again, no soup for you today. You just sound silly. Given every single norm they violated, spying on the president, manipulating the media, working with foreign intelligence to influence an election, I really don't want to hear it about how you think this is impossible. Why would it be impossible if the exact same people who coordinated Spygate, the exact same people who hid the Hunter Biden stuff, the exact same people who were involved in the impeachment hoax and the DOJ, the exact same people involved in this hoax, the Mar-a-Lago national security raid, why? What makes you believe they wouldn't do it? Here he mentions two of the people who were involved. Who are they? Who is John Carlin? Who is Lisa Monaco? These are Justice Department officials now who were involved in this thing now. Well, first, just on the Russiagate thing, just to tie that baby up, Washington Examiner Dan Chaitlin has a great piece. Chaitlin, Trump records negotiator warns of Russiagate materials cover-up. This is him quoting Patel. He said, because there appears to be an ongoing counterintelligence investigation, Patel argued he'll never be allowed to see the Russiagate docs or any other docs he lawfully declassified. They will hide it from the public. That's what they want to do. And who's involved in this and who might have something to hide? Carlin and Monaco. Who is John Carlin? Let's go to this FBI press release first. Wouldn't it be an amazing coincidence if John Carlin was appointed at one point as the chief of staff and counselor, deputy chief of staff to Bob Mueller?
Huh?
No, Dan, no way.
Jaggy?
There it is right there. It's an FBI press release. Literally an FBI press release. Gee, what does that say? FBI National Press Office, January 30th, 2009. So the guy in the Justice Department now involved in this Trump raid and all these decisions coming down, John Carlin, was he was involved in the Spygate thing, the FISA abuses, everything, used to be the deputy chief of staff to one Bob Mueller, who was investigating Trump for a crime they knew he didn't commit, a crime and all this other stuff that John Carlin had a role in investigating, air quotes, when he was in the Department of Justice in the Obama administration. That's not deep state. What are you, an idiot? Are you that stupid? Who's Monaco? Here, Business Insider, April 2021. Bob Mueller's proteges are landing top spots in the Biden Justice Department. Gosh, it's almost like they're covering stuff up, like what they did to spy on the president. Lisa Monaco is among the former aides of Robert Mueller joining the Biden-era Justice Department. You mean like John Carlin? Mueller's old deputy chief of staff? So strange, isn't it? Who replaced John Carlin, by the way? When John Carlin left, get to that in a second, in October of 2016, when things started getting hot, that's right after Mark Levin exposed the whole FISA warrant. Remember when Levin said that? He's like, listen, there was a FISA warrant to spy on Trump. Well, conveniently, John Carlin, who worked in the administration, resigned right after that, the Obama administration, Obama-Biden administration. Strange how he did that. Again, all these just strange coincidences, right? Well, who replaced him? Well, Mary McCord replaced him, as you can see from this Politico piece, September of 2016. This is when he resigned, Carlin. Mary McCord is set to replace him as acting assistant attorney general on October 15th. So there's no deep state, folks, really? So Carlin is Mueller's old chief of staff. Carlin's involved in Spygate. Carlin's in the DOJ now. They raid Donald Trump. They could have taken Russiagate documents to hide their own malfeasance. Carlin's then replaced by Mary McCord. Where does Mary McCord go later? Amazingly, with no shame whatsoever, Mary McCord leaves later to go and work for Adam Schiff's impeachment committee.
Weird.
So.
Isn't it? Oh.
You just can't make it. Here's the crazy thing, Joe. They don't care that this looks bad. The same people involved in Spygate, Russiagate, Impeachment 1, Impeachment 2, Mar-a-Lago Gate, they're the exact same people. Yeah. Here. Don't take my word for it. Here's Politico. Meet the legal minds behind Trump's impeachment. Who do they quote? Mary McCord. The piece they note, they're pulling long hours alongside full-time Capitol Hill staffers talking about these Justice Department people. Here's Mary McCord getting quoted. I think people do see this is a critical time in our history. The walls are closing in, Joe. Said Mary McCord, a former DOJ official who helped oversee the FBI probe into Russian interference in the election and is now listed as a top outside counsel for Schiff's House Committee, by the way, in key legal fights tied to impeachment. Mary McCord notes, this is hilarious. This quote is just epic. We see the breakdown of the whole rule of law. We see the breakdown in adherence to the Constitution and also constitutional values. Yes, Mary, that is absolutely correct. Just not for the reasons you think. This is the lady who replaces Carlin, who's now back in the DOJ as they're raiding Trump's house and used to be in the DOJ as they spied on Trump. You can't make this up. They don't care. They are showing you their butts because they don't know how to respond to Trump. Well, we spied on him. What happened? Well, we accused him of colluding with Russia. What happened? Nothing. We sick Mueller on him. We sick Mueller on him. What happened? Nothing. I mean, a lot happened, but he didn't go away, I should say, to be precise. We impeached him one time. Second time, he's still not going away. Now let's raid him. It is going to get worse. It's the same people. They don't care. Here, look, Carlin conveniently steps down. Washington Post. Head of Justice Department's National Security Division steps down September 27, 2016. Why? Because this is when the whole FISA thing got uncovered and they knew Trump was coming in. Now they're back to cover up their footsteps. Folks, let me get to my next sponsor. I want to make two more quick points because that FBI interview on Friday, I just want to kind of summarize what happened, why that interview on our Friday show. If you haven't listened, please do to the Friday podcast. That interview, that show is going to be, I'm sure of it, the most listened to show. That FBI agent, Stuart Kaplan, blew everybody's mind. That thing was everywhere this weekend. I had alerts going off left and right. I had a very special person call me this morning who was like, Dan, that was crazy. That was like, I can't believe that theory about the Secret Service that the FBI agent put out there. So the FBI agent, Stuart Kaplan, on my Friday podcast, we rarely do an interview, but I felt it was critical. He brought up two amazing points. I just quickly want to, I know you've heard him a couple times, especially if you listen to my Fox show. But the first one was, when you serve a search warrant like they served at Mar-a-Lago, your best friend is Trump's attorney, is the subject's attorney. Because if you're looking for something in advance, which is what you're supposed to do pursuant to the Constitution, you're supposed to be looking for something precise in precise spots you describe. That's what the Constitution requires. We don't do general warrants. A general warrant, I want to search Joe Armacost. Where? Anywhere. For what? Something. That's tyranny. That's what this was. This was basically a de facto general warrant. Think about the lawyer. The lawyer's your best friend because if you're looking for counterfeit money, I serve tons of search warrants. Hey, we need the counterfeit money. The lawyer's like, all right, listen, don't rip the house apart, please. My client's, he's busted, whatever. Here it is. It's right here. They're always your best friend. Why they kept the Trump lawyers outside, it's so clearly obvious. They didn't want to be told where the documents were because they weren't looking for those documents. They were looking for every document. And if the lawyer told them, go look here, they would have probably stopped there. They wanted a general warrant because they're looking for the Russiagate stuff and they're looking for January 6th stuff. But they couldn't put that in the affidavit. This was a pretextual warrant for a larger search, period. It is so obvious. Second point Kaplan made, the Secret Service lock, that this was a total setup. They baited the Secret Service into it. I was explaining this to Paula this morning. She didn't get it. She's like, what do you mean? Like the FBI baited the Secret Service into changing the lock so they could use them in the affidavit. If you were trying to prove that secure documents, I use the air quotes because they haven't proved this yet, were kept in an insecure condition, then what better way to get one of the Secret Service agents for Trump on the record to say they were asked to change the lock to a government lock because it was unsecure? You may say, wow, Dan, that's why not just take the documents in the first place if you were worried about the security of the documents. Exactly. That's the point. The FBI was there June 3rd. It's August 15th. Why not just take the documents then, like Jason Riley said, if it's a national security situation? because they didn't want to. They wanted to go in the house and search everything. And they wanted to make sure they could put in a warrant to search everything that they had told the Secret Service to change the lock, and they changed it. What better way to prove the lock was inadequate by getting a Secret Service agent to put on the record that they put a more adequate lock on? Just a brilliant, brilliant point. I got so many calls on this. This weekend, even this morning, people like, I can't believe it. The Secret Service got sucked into this. And they didn't see it coming. So true. So frightening where we are right now. All right, that was a heavy segment, a little longer than I wanted to go. But there's so much. I'm not giving up on this. And please, I'm begging you again, begging, please, 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 please stay on your congressman. Emails, calls, demand answers, demand accountability, demand when they take charge, and hopefully when they take charge after the November elections, that there is a massive effort to reallocate funds away from some of these FBI functions into more law enforcement entities that are actually doing legitimate national security work. This isn't the Democrats defund the police thing. We need our law enforcement to focus on counterintelligence and intelligence. Those are the FBI is not doing any of that. The FBI is taking your money for political targeting. Period. That's it. That's the end of it. That's it. I'm not debating it anymore. Okay. Proving again, you're not wasting your time here. I will never do that to you. I warned you a couple weeks ago about the coming crackdown on Christians. The Dobbs decision that threw out Roe v. Wade in the Supreme Court has the left on a war path. Now, they've been in a war against Christianity and religion for a very, very long time, because Christianity, faith in general, is a conflict for people who want, it's a conflict for the state power. If you see liberty and freedom and rights coming from God, then they don't come from the state. That's why the left hates religion. Folks, there are a lot of complicated 700 and 800 page books that can explain to you in detail why liberals hate religion. I'm summing it up for you in that one sentence. It's competition for the state. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's competition for the state. Now, why are they losing it now? Because now they feel like they don't have to be quiet about it anymore. Well, Dan, if you're telling me that religion's a conflict for them because it's competition with the state and they love the state and big government, I don't get it. Like, why were they quiet about it? Well, they were quiet about it for obvious reasons, folks. There are 100 million plus people, likely more, I'm downplaying it just to not be accused of hyperbole, who are faith-based people in this country who care about their faith. How the hell are you going to win an election ticking off a third of the country, if not more? So they did it quietly, subterfuge. Now, because they feel like they have license with the left and even moderate Democrats who love the abortion topic, right? They love abortion, killing babies in the womb. That's their thing. They feel like they have license now to up the ante and attack Christianity head on. I said to you, the war on Christians is real and it's going to get realer. Here we go. Fox News, Alexander Hall. The Atlantic, which is a left-wing rag, they did an opinion piece claiming the Catholic Rosary, Joe, has become an extremist symbol.
Who?
I know, Joe. I have people send me rosaries. I get them all the time.
I have
them
a few
away to the church.
Yeah,
you have a few. Someone made me a very nice one, but I have to give them away because people send a lot, and I don't like to throw them out. So we give them to the church to give to people. But the rosary is now an extremist symbol. Make no mistake. This article is meant to inflame, to target Christians, to drive division in the country. And they're pulling the mask off right now because they feel like people are so angry that if they don't take the opportunity now to turn you against Christianity, they're going to lose it forever. You can expect more of this, the Catholic Rosary, an extremist symbol. I promise you can expect more of this moving forward. Now, it's been a busy news week as well, a very busy news week. Joe Manchin, for those of you in West Virginia, I don't know if this guy is ever going to run again. If he does, this is how you would ever, ever, even moderate Democrats consider voting for this buffoon who sold the country out, destroyed your energy industry in West Virginia, and basically, I don't get vulgar, screwed you all over. How you would ever vote for this guy again would be astonishing. There is nothing he can do to reclaim any credibility at all. Manchin, Biden, and Pelosi took another step. They took another step towards the fire. I was sitting there this weekend. Paul and I were just last night, actually. And we're watching just a little bit of TV to kind of calm down. I'm watching some show about wrestling or something. I didn't want to think too much. I was just tired last night. I put together the show. It was done. It was like 8 o'clock at night. And watching some show on wrestling or whatever. And I'm scrolling through and I'm like 5 minutes into it. I'm getting bored already. And I see this movie is on it. So I think it was on Cinemax on the Guide Channel or whatever. And the movie title, I've never seen the movie ever, but the movie title always fascinated me. You know, I had a house that burned down and I lost everything. And the title of the movie is Things We Lost in the Fire. And I don't know why, but I just think that's the greatest title to anything I've ever heard. Maybe because it can mean so many different things and it means so much. I have no idea what the movie's even about. It's a Halle Berry movie. Things We Lost in. I lost a lot in the fire. You don't just lose material things, you lose memories. And then the thing about losing everything in a fire, thankfully only but the dog died, which was horrible, but no people were killed. The dog was bad enough dealing with that. But you don't even know what you lost. And it happens later on. You'll be sitting there one day and you'll be talking at a Thanksgiving dinner and you'll be like, oh yeah, my school ring. Remember when we got those? And you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I lost that too. That used to happen to me all the time. You lose everything. So you don't have an inventory in your head of everything you had. So things you lose in the fire only come over time as you remember them. Well, I thought about, what does that have to do with anything with Joe Manchin? It's a fair question. You're like, I don't know, get to the point on that. Good. I should. I saw that movie last night. I saw the headline, Things We Lost in the Fire, the title, and I thought, that applies to us as a country, too. Manchin, Pelosi, Biden, Obama, Carlin, Monaco, burning the whole place down. I thought of some things we lost. Our allegiance to institutions. How we used to watch movies, right, Joe? When you were a kid, you watched G-Man movies about the FBI. I mean, had the FBI up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Everybody. I wanted to be an FBI agent. I read that book, Mindhunter, about their behavioral profiling. Lost. Things lost in the fire. Our sense of national sovereignty. We have control over our own country. These are our borders. Gone. Things lost in the fire. Any sense that we're going to, our kids are going to live in a wealthier country than we lived in. Things lost in the fire. Such a shame. Such a shame. They just passed this close to $1 trillion or more between the CHIPS Act and the Inflation Reduction Act, hilariously titled, close to $1 trillion in spending that are going to burn this place to the ground. Here's John Carl from ABC doing a rare moment of journalism. He had Karine Jean-Pierre on. And Karine Jean-Pierre is uniquely unskilled at her job as press secretary. I mean, really, really bad at this. And John Carl says, listen, this Manchin, Biden, Pelosi, Inflation Reduction Act spends all this money. Isn't it Orwellian to describe it that way when entities have already told you it's not going to do anything to stop inflation? And I want you to listen to the ridiculous word salad coming out of Karine Jean-Pierre's mouth. Check this out.
It's called the Inflation Reduction Act. But the Congressional Budget Act Office, which is nonpartisan, said that there would be a negligible impact on inflation this year and barely impact inflation at all next year. I mean, isn't it almost Orwellian? How can you call it Inflation Reduction Act when the nonpartisan experts say it's not going to?
So I appreciate that. I appreciate the question. We've actually addressed this, the CBO. It was the top line number. There's more in there that shows that it will have the money from. Remember how we're doing this, too. It's making sure that billionaires in corporate America are paying their fair share, making sure that it's that the tax code is a little bit more fair. And so when you do that, when you put it in its totality, totality, you will see that it will bring down, lower the deficit, which will help.
Now, I'm not going to say I haven't used this word before, fellas. Guy can probably go and do a word search on my show and find it on that new gizmo we have on the website, which is pretty cool, by the way. You can put a search term in. You know what that's called? You put a search term in on our website, whatever you want. You want to talk about John Carlin and the show pops? It's amazing. That's out there too. I'm sure I've used the word totality before. Rarely, but I'm sure I have. But in my experience, and I think you all may agree, when someone says in totality, they typically are trying to obfuscate. They don't understand because they don't understand the intricacies. There is no way in hell hundreds of billions of dollars in tax hikes, which will destroy productivity, producing less stuff, and then printing more money we don't have to give away to green energy companies, that printing more money to chase less stuff is going to reduce inflation. It's asinine to even have to say that. Inflation is produced by more money chasing the same or less stuff. So printing more money to chase even less stuff due to tax hikes and claiming it's going to reduce inflation is so ridiculous. I'd laugh the woman out of the room if she would have said it. In totality. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Shockingly, the bill's even worse. Man, you can thank Manchin. It's going to be signed stat. It's the House passed it, Senate, it's done. It's done. You can thank Joe Manchin. Things we lost in the fire. Thank Joe Manchin for it. Let me get to my last sponsor, and then I want to get to this too. The IRS is lying to you as well. And the Biden administration, your taxes you're not going to get audited with the tens of billions of dollars to fund new IRS employees. No, there is a darn good chance you will. I'll show you the CBO data coming up in a second here. So they lied to you about inflation in the Inflation Reduction Act. I promise you it is going to make inflation long run. There may be some short-term volatility, but long run, it's going to make inflation as bad, if not worse. Maybe short-term volatility. Mark my words, I have zero problem getting that down on digital recording today. The second thing we were told, that the... Oh, thank you. I forgot. 9:41, Monday, August 15th. See, Joe, you're getting very savvy. You were told the tens of billions of dollars going to the IRS to hire more employees. Don't worry. That's not going to impact the middle class at all. You're not going to get audited. Oh, really? James Freeman has a fascinating piece in the Wall Street Journal about just that. How they note that the main targets will be by necessity, the middle and upper middle class, because that's where the money is. Main targets of audits. That's what they're talking about. The Joint Committee on Taxation, by the way, not conservatives over there, they're official scorekeepers for Congress, say that from 78 to 90% of the money raised from underreported income would likely come from those making less than $200,000 a year. Sounds like the middle and upper middle class to me. Only 4 to 9% of the money would come from those making more than $500,000. Freeman notes the harm will go beyond the money the new tax collectors will be able to extract in settlements over tax disputes. What is the Joint Committee on Taxation and Freeman saying in this piece? That there is a very strong likelihood, because that's where all the money is in America. There are very few billionaires, obviously. What they're suggesting here is that they're going to go after the middle class with audits. And because they don't have the money for 2-3 year litigation fights in court over a tax bill, what are they going to do, Joe? They're just going to settle.
Right.
Okay, you say I owe $3,000. Do you owe $3,000? Probably not. But they're just going to settle because they don't want anything to do with it. That's what Freeman's talking about. Let me read that line again. Thank you for going back. The harm will go beyond the money the new tax collectors will be able to extract in settlements over tax disputes. Folks, rich people don't settle. They get attorneys if they feel they're being treated unfairly, and the case gets dragged out in court. Eventually, the IRS gives up or doesn't. That's not what people in the middle class do. They don't have money for 5-year court fights. That was the whole purpose. Finally, one of the most ridiculous components of the Inflation Reduction Act, which is going to destroy the middle class's ability to avoid the IRS, which is going to lead to massive tax hikes, which is going to lead to prolonged inflation over time. There's no doubt in my mind. Thank Joe Manchin, by the way. Sell out. loser, just like Merrick Garland. Loser. There, said it again. To those of you who may have missed it on the five, losers. People who, you describe the word loser, people who sell out America like Garland and Manchin are losers. And I use my words deliberately. Here's another zero. Loser. Jennifer Granholm, cabinet official for the Biden administration. Really, a human being who should stay off TV. Another human disaster. Talking about all the Green New Deal giveaways in this Inflation Reduction Act. She says, don't worry about it, Joe. This thing is going to help people. I mean, just go and build like a nuclear power plant or an electric station in your house. No problem.
All right.
Check this out.
If citizens want to install solar panels on their roofs so that they can generate their own power, that's another 30% tax credit. And, of course, there's the tax credits that are at the dealership for the automotive sector, for electric vehicles. So, and if you install an electric vehicle charging station in your home.
He goes, I love how this has zero to do with inflation. Like, she just goes off on this tangent. Like, hey man, if you had a mini nuclear reactor or an electric charge, she didn't say nuclear reactor. I don't like doing with the leptos. But how out of touch. So, I mean, just think about it, right? A lot of people, folks out there, a lot, a large swaths of America, as a matter of fact, they rent. Joe, I was a renter most of my life until I could finally afford a house.
Yeah.
Has she thought of any of that? Like a lot of middle-class people rent. They rent homes, they rent apartments. They sublet people's condos or whatever it is. You can't just install an electric charging station. Some of them don't even have parking spots. What are you going to do, put it in the street? This is your Democrat Party, the party of the people. You've got to be kidding me. All right. I got a couple more things I want to get to. I got some great news. I'm going to keep this quick, but it's important. I get asked a lot for updates about Rumble. Obviously, you have to be very sensitive about information. You know I am excited to be an investor in Rumble. I always have been. It is the free speech alternative to YouTube. Our growth has been incredible. And I am proud, and I mean proud, 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 so proud to be a part of it. We have changed the game. My Rumble audience has exploded. Gee, what's the video on Friday? Like 374,000 views for our Friday Rumble video with the FBI agent. Folks, 374,000 is bigger than a lot of shows on CNN. That's just the video. The audio version is well into the seven figures. Well, big news about Rumble. Press release from last week. I'm excited to announce that Rumble and CFVI, they announced the effectiveness of their registration statement. The combined company is expected to trade on the NASDAQ. Coming up, the ticker for Rumble will be RUM. Rum.
All right.
Couldn't have thought, Joe, of a better ticker symbol. One of the components of the American Revolution was a fight over rum. And I thought, gosh, things could have worked out better. So we are really, really happy. It is exploding, the company. And thank you for all your support. The ticker symbol coming up will be RUM. R-U-M. Gosh, that puts a smile on my face. I am so proud. So proud to be a part of it. So congratulations to the Rumble team and the CFEI team who made this happen. Thanks, guys. It's an honor. And to the CEO, Chris, you're a good man. And a guy with a lot of dignity and character. And I respect that. I'm going to leave that there. All right. Here's one final piece of audio for you today. Again, I hate to keep saying it because I don't want to sound ridiculous, but I never, ever, I respect you so much. I made a joke on my Friday night show at the end. I don't know if you saw it. We have a show motto at Unfiltered on Fox. It's the real show motto. We didn't make it up. But the show motto is, if you're not first, you're last, from, of course, Talladega Nights, the infamous Ricky Bobby, the Will Ferrell character. We actually have a poster up in the office that says that. Why? One day we were on a ratings call and I followed, some of these hosts are like embarrassed to tell you they follow ratings. I don't know why. I don't understand that. It's like being a sales agent, not tracking sales. Yeah. Right, Joe? I mean, come on. And Joe, you've been in the industry way longer than me.
Yeah.
Anyone telling you they don't follow ratings, what do you say the percentage chance they're lying is? 95, 99?
Everybody 100? Follow. That's why we're here.
Thank you.
That keeps us on the air.
What's the point then?
Yeah.
The point is to produce a product for you that rates, meaning people like it. That's the point. So I hear, oh, I don't watch your ratings. Well, I'm sorry, you're an idiot. I do. And I told my team, if we're not first, we're last. Our show will be number one in our spot and in primetime on Fox. We will be. Because you matter. Well, we have been number one. So I put up this thing. If you're not first, you're last. And I think one of the reasons is podcast. Something happened this weekend, Guy. I mean, I don't want to, because I like the other. For the first time this weekend on Spotify, something happened with the show, and we may be en route to number one there too in the podcast space. I'll show you the picture afterwards. I should have sent it to you this weekend. Why? Because, folks, we are at least months, sometimes years, many times weeks ahead of the information curve. We have been telling you about the mask fallacy, the nonsense about masks forever. Matter of fact, we have been banned from platforms despite incredible pressure, and they can all attest to this, from everyone to stop talking about the mask thing early on. Dan, you're going to get banned. Double-barreled, we didn't care. The truth mattered. And that's why I believe I have faith in you, and you've had faith in me, and I respect it. Finally now, 2 years too late, here's MSNBC, a doctor on MSNBC, telling you what we said 2 years ago, that there is no evidence that these cloth and surgical masks are doing a damn thing to stop infection. This is on MSNBC, 2 years too late.
Here's the plain truth, is that there's no convincing evidence in the real world that masking children in schools makes a significant difference in transmission in schools. We also know right now that everyone over the age of 5 has widespread ability to get vaccinated, that vaccines are the way to take the claws and the fangs away from the virus and turn it into a more manageable disease, that kids face a much lower risk from COVID than adults do. And with Omicron receding, you know, in a patchwork fashion around the country, it's really time to start lifting mitigations whose benefits are unclear at best and whose harms are mounting.
Never, ever going to waste your time. You are all that matters to me. I say it, you know, we joke, if you're not first, you're last, but it's not a joke. The show is for you. I'm never going to let you down. If we get something wrong, we'll correct it. If we get something right, we're not taking victory laps here. Just telling you, you are wasting your time in these liberal networks. Maddow, Chuck Todd, Brian Stelter, they have lied to you about everything. About COVID, about vaccines, about masks, about transmission, about the WHO, about China, about Hunter Biden, about Spygate, about Russiagate, about impeachment one, about impeachment two, about the raid at Mar-a-Lago. They are lying. They're living a lie. You are not. Folks, thanks so much for your support. I shouldn't have left that so cryptically. The bottom line is we made such a massive leap in the last few weeks in the top episodes and top shows on Spotify and Apple and Rumble that it could only be due to just thousands, if not tens of thousands of more people subscribing to the show. And it's the first time we've made a leap this dramatic. We're on the road, I think, to number one soon. Thanks to you. We appreciate it. The way you can help, if you choose, I respectfully ask, is to subscribe to the show. It is absolutely free. Subscribe on all the platforms if you can, Apple, Spotify, and most importantly, Rumble at rumble.com/Bongino. Thank you so much for your support. It means the world to me. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I'll see you on the radio show later.
You just heard Dan Bongino.